The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Are you a people pleaser? What is a people pleaser? Well, I'm joined by clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast, Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What is a people pleaser?
Well, I mean, in simple terms, a people pleaser is the person who is inclined to prioritise other people's needs beyond their own and to do it in a very patterned way, in a very consistent way. I mean, as they say, there's nothing wrong with people pleasing, but you got to be sure you're in that mix and you're one of them. So you'd often see it in the kind these kind of behaviours, I suppose, you know, where you see somebody who goes with the flow, but they, you know, when others dictate what happens, even in simple decisions, you know, about social things or otherwise, they're just a bit too agreeable. They don't tend to assert themselves. They don't say no. They're inclined not to say what it is that they want. And it makes them a little bit difficult in terms of relationships, you know, be it friendships, be it romance, be it even in workplace situations.
Well, why does it make it difficult to because they're just trying to acquiesce to everything.
Yes.
They'll go along with everything. Why would that make them difficult people? You'd imagine yes. It would make them very easy to walk all over.
Well, I think it makes them agreeable to be around. And it makes them, in some ways, there's a smoothness to the transactions. But in the longer term, the people pleaser doesn't tend to have very satisfying relationships and maybe very effective relationships because they're not having their own needs met.
It's not for the rest of us that the problem lies.
Correct.
It's with the people pleaser,
correct,
him or herself.
Yes. And of course, that's where I look into things, isn't it? And it is really that at the bottom of people pleasing, there is always something. Now, you could say it's just a pattern. It can be an early childhood patterning that is learned and is brought into adulthood. But you know, and it's usually brought, you know, sort of at foot, if you like, there's something behind it. Usually they have learned to kind of acquiesce. They've learned that it's difficult to get your own way and to have your own needs met. And that could be, you know, difficult parents who have lots of problems of their own and tend not to be able to deal with their, you know, their child and the needs of the child. So the child tends then to just learn to please them and keep them happy and keep them in a good mood. And so they get this very early kind of antenna for pleasing you, watching your eyes to see what it is you want me to say, what's going to make you annoyed.
You're describing a puppy.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good...
You know, a dog wants to please its kind of owner all the time.
That's right. And it is, of course, a kind of a trauma response, but not in the big sense of it doesn't have to be one single huge trauma. In many ways, it is, you know, in a trauma response, there is the kind of fight, flight, but also there is what we call fawning. And it is that puppy dog thing where we roll over and make sure we don't do anything to offend you and we find a way to sort of preempt everything. And the pleasing of the other is in that fawning kind of way is another way of not being yourself and not feeling you can assert yourself, not feeling that you can say what you want, what you need or what's OK and or to disagree.
Going back to childhood, you know, you got the two reactions. You get the child who's always willing to or wanting to please mummy or daddy and do what they say. And then there's the other child who rebels.
Yes.
And gets rewarded when they stop rebelling.
Yeah. Whereas and rebelling is more healthy.
But you can't rebel maybe in the office, or is that a good way to be arguing all the time, demanding your way? Because
there's an
observation
opposite.
Would be that the fawning person, the one who licks up to the boss, is the one that gets the promotion.
Yes, but they do it with purpose, with an intention of people who work their way up the ladder that way are usually more intentional about getting their own needs, but doing it in a very strategic way. The person
they're pretending to be a people pleaser when in fact
they're not.
They're
really people pleasing. They're really working it through themselves. And I think that's slightly different, although I think what you raise there is really interesting, because really what you're saying is sometimes the people pleasing works, gets you forward.
Yeah.
But you see, in terms of, as we know, in relationships, you know, what really matters is that both people have their needs met, that both people feel they're heard, they're sort of valued, they're in a good place, they can say what they want. That doesn't happen. And also, I would see it quite a lot in helping people in the love game, if you like. What I see is that people hide themselves. They're kind of hidden within people pleasing.
Yeah.
You will hear people almost not even deciding on the date, where we go, what you do. They say, whatever you want, What does that tell me about you or anybody? I don't even know who you are. You know, why would you just want to please one person? So you need to people need to think about that, particularly in the dating world. I've noticed it it's a big factor. So our patterns come out, if you like, in the love game. They also come out in other areas of life. But in the love game, people often think that they're very different. Actually, these kind of fawning behaviours come out very strongly there.
What happens to someone if they sublimate their own real needs and desires to this people-pleasing? What happens to them?
They, over time, as I say, first of all, they're hiding themselves. So what's happening, their own needs? First of all, they're not having their own needs met. They're not setting boundaries that are good and healthy for themselves. So there comes a point where they're frustrated, where they're resentful. They don't even know what they're resenting and what they're, you know, sort of feeling bad about. But it is really that they are constantly appeasing other people, hoping they will like them and value them. But then when they don't like and value, or they don't reciprocate as much as you think you've, you know, deferred all your own pleasures for, if you like, or all your own desires for, then they get kind of angry and annoyed. And when I was in the car coming in, I was thinking, actually, the martyr, you know, the martyr syndrome, that's a first cousin of this now in psychological terms, you know, because the person, not only are they people pleasing, but they're doing it, they're putting themselves out enormously. They want you to know they're putting themselves out enormously for you, but they don't want you to do it either because they want to be the one who's doing it. And that's, so I see that as a first cousin there.
Okay, so can you change yourself from being a people pleaser to being someone else?
Yes, I think so. You can, not so much someone else, but I think you can break habits, unless if there is a massive trauma and you cannot, you know, unravel for yourself why you're doing this. That's where therapy comes in. But therapy isn't always required. You can start by, like, therapy works if you think of it this way. We go in, unravel what's gone wrong, find the pattern, go in and find the thread. But you, and we work backwards then and help you change your behaviour. But you can start actually by changing the behaviour and see if you can feel different and practice that way.
But aren't there rewards to being the people pleaser? Because they'll be told, oh yes, so-and-so is very thoughtful, very kind, great listener.
Short-term rewards. I see it as short-term rewards. In the end, you have to be able to put yourself first sometimes. It's fine to people please. We all do it. We defer, you know, we put somebody first for a few days. You know, somebody's sick, all these things. Of course we do that. But people pleasing is different. It's kind of denying yourself a bit more. And so I would encourage people, if they want to practice changing it, they need to try and identify what their, you know, what's the feeling? I don't want to disappoint you, or I'm a little bit afraid, or I'm afraid that they will think I'm selfish, or I'm afraid something else. So try and speak those fears out loud, write them down first, maybe it's just to yourself. And then in the conversation with another, set the boundary.
Here's a text. My partner is a people pleaser. It's terrible. Total doormat in their workplace. Never says no, but it ends up they please everyone except us at home, which leads to arguments. They are too passive.
Yes. Well, learning, there you are.
Learning to say no would be a good step. And often people are afraid of what happens if you say no.
Of course.
But if you say no early and firmly, it's early. Better than delaying and procrastinating.
Yes, and that's a good trick. What you're saying is, say the no early. There's two things. Say the no early, try and acknowledge the fear or the feeling. And the other is, try and keep your eye, not so much on what this other person is going to be thinking about you or saying about you, but rather try and think about what it's going to be like to have that time. For example, in this case, you know, where the girl never says no. You know, creating time, say, for example, you're saying to yourself, well, I need to create more time for us. Okay, like in this couple situation. Well, then when you are making, you know, these no's and trying to step back from things, you need to remind yourself. And you can say that out loud and say, look, I've promised to make more time for myself this week, so I won't be able to do that.
No.
Create it in your mind, but say it out and get used to saying it out. And that's almost like I was saying, the reverse of therapy in many ways. So you're saying it, then you will feel it. You will begin to feel that it's nice to say no, that it's okay, and that the world doesn't actually change.
All right. Stephanie Regan, a clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.